We've been studying the life of Moses the past 5 weeks. I think this makes the sixth one, which, you know, really surprised me. I thought, man, we'll be through this in just a couple. But there is so much meat here in this scripture that it's unbelievable until you really get to studying it. The message this morning be entitled, Don't Have a Hard Heart. You know, there's so many times in our lives that it's easy for us to, for our heart to become hard. You know, and if you get one thing out of the message this morning, I want you to learn that we need to keep our hearts humble before the Lord, and don't let things that come along in life give you a hard heart, give you a bad attitude. We're going to be in the book of Exodus. Most of it, we got a lot of scripture to go over, but I think we'll make it through all right. When you read and study the Bible, there's actually, I shared this with you already, but I'm going to go over it right quick. There's three areas there that are heirs of miracles in the Bible. Three of them have already taken place, and one is yet to come. There's four heirs of miracles in the Bible. And one of them is the one we're looking at, is this time frame of Moses, and the second one is the time frame there of Elijah, and then the third is when Jesus walked here on this earth and the miracles that he did and that took place there. But through all this, through all these different eras of miracles in the Bible, you think about this. God stepped into this that time and that space, came into the world and manifested his power, or show the world his power. But there that fourth era, and it still remains. That's coming in the future. Think about that. That's coming in the future. God's going to visit this earth, and through a series of devastating judgments, he's going to perform miracles. He's going to have, there's going to be a righteous wrath on this world, because this world has rejected his Son and his word. And when you look at the story of Moses and the Israelite people, they were eyewitnesses to God's devastating power, or these plagues that we're going to look at this morning. And after that was over, then they entered a new land with a new leader and a new way of life. You see, the same thing's going to happen when this fourth era comes, but we're not going to have a new leader. We're going to still have the same leader, and that is Jesus Christ. But there's going to be devastation and judgment come, and we're going to be in a new land, a new way of life. This world, as we know it, is going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So when we get into the study this morning, I want to back up just a little bit and share with you that God's voice predicted these plagues, this devastation that was going to take place. Just as the same way God's word predicts the judgment that's to come to this earth. So let's back up in Exodus chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is the burning bush experience. Verse 19, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." Now, what was the title of the message? Don't have a hard heart. You know, this is what happens to Pharaoh here. His heart becomes hard, and God tells Moses that that's what's going to happen. That his heart is going to become hard, and he will not let them go. One word I want to point out before we go any further into this scripture is the word all. A-L-L. How many times we're going to see that word in this scripture that we're going to be looking at. Okay, so we get to the first plague, which is the one of blood in Exodus. Jump over to chapter 7. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. Now, God is going to use these to soften the heart of Pharaoh, so he will let the people go that have been in bondage for 400 years. Starting verse 14, chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee into Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out into the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's bank against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thy hand. And verse 16, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Verse 17, Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loath to drink of the water of the river. Now you stop and think about this. This body of water, the Nile, it was the basics to life itself in this part of the world. I mean, they did everything. They did their bathing, their cooking, their laundry. They got their drinking water. And also, this was a very important thing here, was their diet. They got their fish from it. So that is the first one that he brought on them. He turns the Nile into blood. Let's read on a little further now. Same chapter, verse 20 and 21, chapter 7. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And what? All the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Verse 21. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout what? All the land of Egypt. Their source of water was gone. And part of their source of food was gone, was the fresh fish. Now let's go to verse 24 and 25. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. Now, do you think, with this right here happening, that would have opened Pharaoh's eyes, that would have softened his heart? But it did not. Look, let's back up to verse 23 and look what he did. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. His heart was still hard. The second plague is frogs. It's in chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. We're going to start reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Verse 2, And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders. There's the word all again. All thy borders with frogs. I want you to just picture this for a minute. This is not frog legs we're talking about here. This is frogs. I mean wall-to-wall frogs. Let's read verse 3. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. Now let's jump down to verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. I mean, this is croakers everywhere. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're in their bed, they're in their ovens. Everything that you can think of has frogs in it. You know, I don't have nothing against frogs. I used to play with them, but I wouldn't want them in my bed. I certainly wouldn't want them in my kitchen and the things that I eat out of. But you just picture this. I mean, frogs came up and it covered the land. Now let's read chapter 8, verses 12 through 15. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So we had the Nile turned into the blood, and we have the frogs, and the third one that he's going to bring upon them is gnats. Now, one thing I want to point out here, this plague here was unannounced. These others, we didn't read the scripture, but that judgment that was coming was announced. But this one here is not announced. He just tells Moses and Aaron to do it. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. And the Lord, chapter 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land. Notice that it says man and animals. This affected all of them. I mean, not only just man, but the livestock also. And then look at verse 19 of chapter 8. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now up until this point, the magicians had been using their black magic, if you'll call it. Up until this point, they had been doing the same. They'd been duplicating, if you will, the same thing. But when they get to this point here, that they cannot do it. And they point out to him, they tell him, said, "Man, this is God doing this. This is the finger of God doing this. We can't match that." But his heart was still hard. Now let's jump down to verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thereof thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. I want to point out that from this time on, during these plagues here, God's people have divine protection. There's divine protection there. And in I may have not given you this, but in verse 23 it says, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. There was divine protection on the people of God, on the Hebrew people. I want to remind you this morning that if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, there is divine protection upon your life. Amen? You need to believe that. You know, the psalmist in 91:7 talks about if a thousand fall by thy side and 10,000 by thy right hand, it shall not come nigh unto thee. You have divine protection. Back to Exodus chapter 8, verse 24. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and to all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by the reason of the swarm of flies. And the Hebrew word for swarm is mixture. So we're basically looking at a mixture of insects here. Now just think about that for a minute, all the different insects that there could be. And there's a mixture of them. And just... I can't even imagine the going through something like that. So did this soften Pharaoh's heart? Look what verse 32 says of chapter 8. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Let's go to the next one. Chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous, how do you pronounce that? Murrain? That's a pestilence or a plague. I lost my place. What verse was that? Okay, verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall be nothing die of what? All that is the children of Israel. Verse 5. And the Lord appointed a set time. Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Verse 6. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. They had that divine protection. He was even protecting his people's cattle, their livestock. They even had protection. Now let's go on to the next one in chapter 9, verse 10. One about the bulls. Verse 10 of chapter 9, and they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upward toward heaven, and it became a bull breaking forth with blands upon man and upon beast. It's not only just the people that have it, but it's on the animals too. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the bulls, for the bull was upon the magicians and upon what? All the Egyptians. I can kind of relate to that because I've had a boil. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. They're nasty. They get sore and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And lots of times you have to go to the doctor and have them to lance them and drain that out of there. Can you imagine having them all over your body? Never everyone having them. You know, and I never noticed this before, but think about this. All the people, all the Egyptians, had boils on their bodies. And if you've ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want nothing touching that thing. I mean, you don't want bumping it or hitting it or nothing. But look what the next one is. Never caught this before. Chapter 9, verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in where? All the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Can you imagine having bulls and then being out and hail hitting them? Man. Verse 23, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Verse 24, so there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like in war, all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. Verse 25, and the hail smote throughout, where? All the land of Egypt, where? All that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Man, that is a storm now. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were was there what? No hail. They had that divine protection. God was protecting them. You think that going through all this, that Pharaoh would have softened his heart, that he would have let them go, but look what it says in verse 30, chapter 9. See, he doesn't fool Moses. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. That's Moses saying that. He I believe at this point he remembered what God had told him about Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go. And I believe Moses here knew that it wasn't going to happen just yet. Let's go a little bit further. Chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. Chapter 10, verse 12 through 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even what? All that the hail have left. You know, that's interesting as you go through these and read them. Every plague that comes along, what was left from the one before it, the next one takes care of the rest of it. Verse 13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land. When? All that day. And what? All that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Verse 14, and the locusts went up over where? All the land of Egypt, and rested in what? All the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts neither after them shall be such. Verse 15, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through what? All the land of Egypt. Little by little, their food supply is being cut off. Starvation, little by little. Let's go to the next one, chapter 10, verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in what? All the land of Egypt. For how long? 3 days. You know, I read a little story about this when I was studying that. I didn't write down the man's name, but he was a scientist. Now, this is a scientist talking. I might add it was a Christian scientist. And he did some studying and some research on this. This is his thoughts. I'm not saying this is what happened, but all I know it was a miracle and God made it happen. He said in his study that he believed that the air became electrified and the dust particles, and it made the dust particles that was in the air and those on the ground actually float up and just be like a dust floating everywhere, and just went in and just became thicker and thicker and thicker. Now, all I know was a miracle and God done it. So, but it says a thick darkness. It's a darkness so thick that you could feel it. Verse 23 says, and they saw not one another, neither rose from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Man, a darkness so thick that you could feel it. Let's read on a little further, verse 28 and 29, chapter 10. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from thee, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. You know, after going through all this, you think his heart would become soft and he would submit to God. You know, as I read this and studied this, you know, there's so many times in our life that God is trying to use things in our life to pull us to him, and we become harder and harder. So there's three things I want to point out, and then I'm going to close. There's a battle going on here. You need to realize that there's a battle going on. Just like there's a battle going on in your life today, there's a spiritual battle taking place. And this battle here is between a righteous and holy God and a stubborn heart of Pharaoh. There's three truths here that we can get out of this to teach us. And I want to point those out to you. Remember the word all, A-L-L? When God judges, he does a very thorough job of it. All. The second one would be that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And the third one would be the danger zone. You hear me? You know, there's so many Christians that are living in that danger zone. You go through your life, you're living that fast and furious life. You're ignoring warning after warning. You've shoved aside all the truths so long that your heart has become hardened. You know what the thing about that? The longer your heart is hardened, the more difficult it is for God's light to break through. There's some of you that, a lot of you that know me, and there's some of you that don't. And I'm telling you, I'm a miracle standing up here, because I had a hard heart. I had a hard heart. And it's just by the grace of God that I'm up here this morning. We can reject the pleas, ignore the warnings, and we can keep going our own way, living the life that we want to live. See, there's something about it. When you're under that light, you become hardened by the sun. Think about this for a second. You take God's word says we're vessels, we're the clay, right? You're out there in that sun. The form you take right there when you're in that sun, you're gonna become hardened. Just like if you stare at the sun long enough, you're gonna go blind. So if we're looking at the sun and not responding, if we're not responding to God's word, if we're not responding to that voice that's calling us, that call of Christ on our life, if we don't respond to it, we're going to be ruined by it, just like Pharaoh. In closing, we look at these plagues or judgments, whatever you want to call them. I like to think of them as judgments. And I would like to remind everybody this morning that one thing that we face is the judgment. And that is that judgment of the cross. Remember what Christ said on the cross? He says, it is finished. It is finished. In other words, everybody here this morning, you have to make up your mind whether you're going to accept what Christ did for you on the cross. Because if you don't accept that, there's no other way. I don't care what you believe. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way. It's not about works. It's not about religion. It's not about being a do-gooder. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. And when He said it is finished, it is finished. It's taken care of. Amen. Brother Sam's favorite verse. What was it, John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Man, we got a choice to make. There's judgment coming, and it's coming for what? All of us. The only way to escape that judgment is by accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And it's not about saying a little prayer and then just going on and living your life the way you want to live. You hear me? It's about being born again, as the Bible teaches us. It's about being born from above through the Spirit of a living God. And that Spirit lives in you. That Spirit gives you the power, Brother Russ, to go to someone at the gas pump and share Jesus Christ with them. That Spirit within you gives you the power to go out poor. That Spirit within you gives you the strength and the encouragement and the want to come to church and fellowship with other believers. That Spirit that lives within you gives you the desire in your heart to be discipling someone else. And I want to leave you with that thought this morning, because that was the challenge that was put before us at the men's retreat. If you are not discipling someone else, listen to me. If you are not discipling someone else, then you are not following Christ. I'm not saying you're not saved. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that you are not following Jesus Christ. And you know what? We can come in here and we can sit at these pews and we can say, yeah, Brother Dennis, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Well, if we're following Christ, we need to be discipling people. And we need to be acting like God wants us to act. And we need to be encouraging one another and praying for one another and lifting one another up as a church. I'm here to tell you, I believe with all my heart that God is fixing to do great things here in this church. I really believe that with all my heart, and I'm excited about it. But the only way it is going to happen is through prayer, and for us to be actually following Christ and making disciples of someone else.